I've just noticed in that translation of that passage, it's missed out. I mean, my entire heading for my sermon, you know, that passage that always translates "for nothing is impossible for God," but somehow in that version it said "for no," it said something different. So just go for nothing is impossible for God, because that's very helpful for my sermon this morning if we go with that translation. So you won't be surprised to realise, that we're looking at the theme of Advent just now. And what a surprise that is. It's Christmas time, we're looking at Advent. And Advent is this time of waiting, and waiting for the birth of Christ. So last week, if you weren't here, we had Andrew talking. And he looked at lots of the Old Testament prophecies about the birth of Christ. And he also looked at John and what John said about Jesus and Jesus' mission. And he summed it all up in the words that God is light, if you remember that. I mean, listen to it. I mean, my three-word summary, it doesn't do it justice. You know, listen to the whole thing online. And so today, we're looking at Luke's account of when Gabriel, or in our house we call Gabriel Gabby, actually. It's a good abbreviation. If you don't understand that joke, you should know me better. Gabby's my foster son. Gabriel came to visit Mary. I just want to go through a few thoughts from the story and focus on the amazing words that Gabriel said at the end, which are normally translated, "For nothing is impossible with God." So let's start at the top. You know, whenever I read this passage, I always think of a sitcom that took place in the 1980s and 90s based in Liverpool called Bread. Because the eldest son was called Joey Boswell. And whenever he walked into a room, he used to say something. Can anyone remember what he used to say when he walked into any room? That's it. He would walk in and he would say, in my wonderful Scouse accent, "Greetings." And strangely enough, it never made people feel comfortable. Now, this is my Scouse accent, isn't it? It never made people feel comfortable when Joey Boswell said that. And in our story, when the angel Gabriel arrives at Mary and says, "Greetings," it didn't seem to make Mary feel comfortable. We can assume that Luke, the author of this gospel, must have chatted to Mary afterwards, because he then tells us what Mary was thinking. And we get in verse 29, it says this: "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." And I love that. I love that insight into Mary's mind, because it's just so real. Mary reacts like probably 99% of people would have reacted. She's greatly troubled. You know, it seems to me in the Bible that whenever angels turn up, the first line they've got to say is, "Don't be afraid." Yeah, you know, and once again, totally understandable. If an angel turns up, I think the standard human reaction is to be terrified. You know, I've never met an angel in person, I don't think. But if I did, I'm pretty sure I'd be terrified. And I think, you know, I'd probably have the same reaction as Mary. "What on earth is going on here?" is the 21st century paraphrase. "I'm not sure I like this type of greeting." It's what we get in the passage here. It's just so human. It's so right. It's so, like, unscripted. It's so not what the mother of Jesus should say. But it's what a real person would say, isn't it, in that situation. You know, I'm actually convinced that Mary could have, at that point in time, just walked away from all this. Could have said no to the proposition put to her by the angel. And God would have worked it out somehow. I'll touch on that a bit later on, actually. See, Mary was, like, terrified when the angel came, was troubled, asked a few questions that we read in the passage, heard a few answers, a few crazy answers, by the way. And then she says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You know, what an adventure Mary had. What a life Mary had because she just said yes to God. She had no idea at that point in time what that yes meant. I am the Lord's servant. Okay. Yes. In fact, she probably thought that she might not even get to give birth to this child. Because that would have been the standard practice for a teenage girl out of wedlock getting married, stoned to death. She had no expectation of what the future held. How could she have? She just gets told by this heavenly being all this information. And she just says, yes. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you are in communication with God, if God is speaking to you about something massive or something tiny, or you think is tiny, you just say yes. Because who knows where that could lead to? Now, I preached a sermon about 10 years ago, and I gave out wristbands. One of them was this one here, and it says, take a risk for Jesus on it. I gave out about 400 wristbands. Damn, they still got one of them 10 years on. No, I have. And I wear it just to remind me to try and say yes when God asks me something. Something that may sound crazy, weird, strange, not normal. Just say yes to God. Because just before Mary says yes to God, we get these words, these well-known words in verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. And I'm not sure how long the gap was between Mary hearing these words and giving her response. She hears all these words, you know, from Gabriel, finishing off with, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And she then just says, yes, I'm the Lord's servant. You know, this phrase, nothing is impossible with God, is not the standard phrase that you hear on the media a lot, and the social media a lot, and films a lot, which is people say to other people, you can do anything. You can do anything. I listen to that and say, no, that's rubbish. You know, don't tell people that. That leads them up for a fall. It gives them unrealistic expectation. This is, God can do anything with you. Which is very different and subtly different. You know, and I think Mary, at her tender age, grasped this and just plainly said, okay, God, I'm up for it. You know, in the middle of this story, in verse 35, we get some really serious theology dropped into this. We get the explanation of the virgin birth. And I tried to look at it. I studied the words in the Greek and still didn't make an awful lot of sense. It says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow Mary, is what it says. And basically, what it means is that the power of God will fall upon Mary, and she'll be pregnant with Jesus. Now, it so happens, I reread Mere Christianity the week before last, just as I was starting to prepare for this. C.S. Lewis wrote this book called Mere Christianity. It's a brilliant book. And I say he wrote this book. He actually, it was a series of talks that he did over the radio during the Second World War when he wanted to encourage people to look at Christianity again. And in it, as actually Andrew touched on last week, he talks about God standing out of time, but stepping into time. Well, this is the event when God steps into time. But I'm going to try and touch on a little bit of what C.S. Lewis says, but please read the book. I went onto Amazon this week. You can get it for a quid. It's like a 80-year-old book, and there's many rewrites. You can get it cheap. Put it in somebody's Christmas stocking. It's a brilliant book to challenge somebody about the basis of Christianity. And it says in his book about, C.S. Lewis talks about God not being controlled by time, having no past, present, and future, but being always in all these things. And I know these concepts are beyond our understanding. Which is why I said about before about Mary being able to say no, but God still fulfilling his purposes. The prophecies that were written in the Old Testament for God were written at the same time as Christ dying. And Mary saying yes. He knew it all. So if Mary had somehow said no, there'd have been a different Mary and different prophecies. It would have still have all worked out. It's like God re-editing the book before it goes to publishing. We only get the published copy in time, but God outside time makes it all fit together. I know it's crazy to try and understand that. So when God, the Holy Spirit, somehow impregnates God the Son into the womb of Mary, we don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit not having an operational function for 20 or 30 odd years while the baby Jesus was growing up as a baby, not being able to speak and all that kind of stuff. Because although he was in time, God was still out of time. And you see, the thing is, you know, I've done something strange here. The thing is, God needed to do that so that we could relate to God. Nothing is impossible with God, but God in all his wisdom realized that he needed to step into our shoes. So we get God the Son confining himself to time for the period of his 33 and a half years. And he, therefore, can relate to our hunger. He can relate to our tiredness. He can relate to our waiting, to growing, to maturing, to all these time-related concepts. He can relate to that because he confined himself to time for that period on earth. So I want you to understand that God understands time and understands our time pressures. He knows our needs and our abilities, and he's got advice to give us about time. You know, it seems to me as we focused on in the last month, be still is a thing that he says. And slowing down seems to be a permanent reminder that God gives us as a human race. And Advent is a time where we learn to wait. We wait on the birth of Christ. We wait is that during Advent, it's a time of waiting. But I really feel that during my times of waiting, God has told me something else. And that is prepare while you wait. So it's not just be patient while you wait. Waiting isn't just about hanging about and doing nothing. It's about prepare yourself for what is going to come. And Advent is about waiting and preparing yourself. You see, I believe that God can use any of us to do remarkable things. That's not you can do anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God can use your personality, your skills, your experiences, your idiosyncrasies. That's a posh word for your weirdness, yeah? Your faith. Basically, God can use you and enable you to do stuff that will blow your mind. But that is God using who you are to fulfill your destiny in Christ. And I think I believe the key qualities are humility and faith. That's what we see in the life of Mary and the life of many, many, many people that are used by God. Humility and faith. I want to tell you a story about somebody that I know who had these qualities, who has these qualities. You all remember, a lot of you remember baby Daisy that myself and Stella fostered for 2.5 years. Well, she got adopted by a wonderful woman called Steph. And we didn't know Steph at all until we were introduced during the adoption process. And it turns out that Steph is an ordinary, amazing woman. Before we met her, Steph had decided to be a missionary in Mozambique. And she went out to Mozambique and she'd been there for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, she was in a kind of village with little mud huts everywhere. And they were receiving a delivery by a 4.5-ton army truck. And the handbrake was left off and the truck reversed back and it crushed her. It crushed her to death, is the expression. And I was chatting to her last night. She sent me a text and she said to me, "I remember taking my last breath, knowing I would not be able to breathe again. And after that, I was completely crushed. Somebody got into the driver's side and started speaking words of life over me. And what happened was she was completely crushed by this 4.5-ton truck on top of her. Loads of people came and tried to lift the truck, but couldn't manage it. Understandably, it was 4.5-ton. And a few people felt that they should ask a 16-year-old boy called David to come and lift the truck. And they went and got this boy called David, and he came, and he lifted the truck up. And Steph was dragged out, lifeless, her body crushed. David said afterwards that he felt electricity flowing through him as he lifted this truck. And David, at that time, wasn't a Christian. He was 10 minutes later, because he couldn't deny the power of God had walked through him. Steph was taken to the local hospital, which he said was like an outback hut, but they had an x-ray machine. She was x-rayed in a lifeless state, and all her bones and her hip was all crushed to pieces, smashed by the truck. But she started coming back to life. She started breathing again. She was removed from the hospital because there was nothing they could do for her. And she had to wait in a mud hut for 5 days while the insurance got themselves sorted, a medical insurance. A few friends came to visit her, you know, that she'd got to know. One friend arrived at the village and said, I've come to see Steph Baker. And the lady said, "I'll take you to her." And the friend said, "No need. I can see the angels above her mud hut. I take it that's where she is." And a friend went there and spent some time with her. 5 days later, she was flown to South Africa to because the insurance had kicked in. And she went to the specialist hospital in South Africa. And the doctor said to her, "Who's performed your operation to realign your body and your hips and your pelvis?" She said, "No, I've not had an operation." He said, "No, you have. I can see it. Your pelvis has all fitted together perfectly. It's been totally realigned." I said, "Oh, and by the way, you have no internal damage to any of your organs." She said, "Well, I can promise you, And they were looking at the x-ray which she had with her, with her body in a crushed state. And she said, "I've been in a mud hut for 5 days being prayed for." She didn't require an operation. She did require recovery time in hospital. And then she came back to Britain without an operation on her crushed body. She felt her life had been transformed. Her picture was in the Liverpool Echo. The story was in the Liverpool Echo in 2016. And she never went back there. But because she never went back there, she was in the position to receive Daisy, which for us, was not another miracle. Because all we wanted was Daisy to go to a Christian woman or a Christian family. And Steph is an extraordinary, ordinary Christian woman. Just like Mary. Mary was nothing special in many ways. She was just an ordinary teenager But when God spoke to her, her response wasn't, "Well, to be honest, God, I am pretty special. I am really holy, and I am really intelligent." That wasn't Mary's response. Mary's response was, "I am your servant." Mary's response was just, "Yes." You see, to most people, Mary was a nothing. A teenage girl from no particular family with no particular prospects. But God saw something else. Humility and faith. And with humility and faith, God can do miraculous things. You know, back in Genesis, we get the story of Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we're told that Noah found favor in God's eyes because Noah was a righteous man who walked with God. That was his qualifications. Noah was just a guy who spent his time with God and went on to have the most crazy adventure you could ever think of, didn't he? You see, God is full of surprises. That is the true facts about the Christmas story. You know, the announcement of Jesus' birth was made to shepherds, not to kings. Jesus was born in a manger, not in a palace. Jesus was born to poor parents, not to wealthy parents. You know, if we tried to design the birth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Son of God, we just wouldn't have done it that way. But God uses the ordinary. And I want you to grasp that. If you feel ordinary, you are in the exact place to be used by God. God uses the ordinary and the humble to do extraordinary things. So here's my question for you this morning. Could you have these qualities? Could you have the qualities of humility and faith? I heard somebody say that humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. I thought, I like that. Humility isn't saying, "I'm a horrible, terrible person. I'm useless, I'm worthless, I'm all that kind of drivel." That's not humility. That's false pride and can cause you lots of issues. Humility is just not thinking about yourself and just focusing on others. Just thinking about yourself less. And I really believe that with these qualities of humility and faith, you and God can do some real business. History is littered with people who humbly offered themselves to God and then go on a crazy adventure. The Son of God gives us the example. Jesus enters into the world in humility and amazing faith, obviously, and does some crazy stuff. God doesn't do the obvious. He just views things differently from us. And probably he views you differently from how you view yourself. So in summary this morning, I just want to remind you that if you humbly offer yourself to God, then nothing is impossible with God. Thank you.